know, brethren, I've listened to the conversation so far, and I'm puzzled and lifting my mind. I see the balance between God's sovereignty in Obadiah's case and so on. But also, don't let us forget that Elijah failed. I'm going ahead a little bit, but the next chapter, at this point in time, Elijah did stand up for the Lord. But very soon after that, he was running from Jezebel. And so the point here I'm seeing is that it was the grace of God working in Elijah at this point in time for him to have that fearless attitude towards Ahab. And so I think we got to underline that point. It wasn't that he was strong in himself. It was what God had done in him to enable him to stand before Ahab at this point in time.
It is a secret, that is the recognition of the presence of the Lord all the time. Elijah realized the presence of God when he was by the brook Kerith, when he was in the widow's house, and he was going to stand when he was talking to Obadiah, because he used that term all the time. As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. So when he heard the threat, and again, we don't want to run ahead, you know, you don't read that expression there. Now, when you lose sight of the presence of the Lord, you are left for your own. It was Peter walking on the water. And everything was fine as long as he was taking hold of the presence of the Lord and having his eyes on the Lord Jesus. The moment you take your eyes off the Lord, that's what happened. So now here is a man who is, acquainted, I don't want to use the word familiar, with the presence of the Lord. He knew about it. And as a result of that, he has the courage and the being brave to do and to utter what he is going to utter. He is now going to stand before the most wicked, authoritative king in the land. And he is not afraid of him. Why? Because when you are in the habit of being in the presence of the Lord, you're not going to be afraid of anybody. Every potentate, as they say, will be like a potato. There will be nothing. It's nothing at all. You stand before, you are familiar with the presence of God. But now, holiness must characterize your life. See, Obadiah could not say anything. He was living in Ahab's house, and he was seeing what Jezebel and all of these idol worshippers are doing in and out every time. So he doesn't have any really courage at all. He was tainted himself. But Elijah, rather to suffer affliction, to maintain that level of holiness, to maintain a level of obedience, to maintain a level of separation for God. These are the type of people that God would use them on a bigger scale. Everyone wanted to be known nationally. But to be known nationally, you have to be first in the presence of the Lord by the brook Kerith. You have to be that in that area where nobody knows anything about you, where you are really in the presence of the Lord, learning the word of God, being in prayer before the Lord, and really get acquainted with the presence of God. If you pass that test, if you pass the test of being in a small company where little things are available, then you are able to stand before the king. It's not the other way around. You don't start by in that beginning and go around. You start there and there. Not only he's able to challenge a king, he's able to challenge the whole nation. And put a challenge before them. 450 prophets of Baal. He challenged them. He took them all on. He really was not scared of anybody. Because the secret was the presence of God. When we are in school, the presence of God is there. When you are at home alone, in front of your computer, where your parents are not around, where nobody else is around, and nobody's watching what you're doing, the presence of God is there. If you are familiar with that, it will prevent you from being like Obadiah. Obadiah was watching things and seeing things and doing things that he shouldn't. That's why he didn't have any testimony. Elijah realized the presence of God, and that prevented him from exposing himself to something that might harm him in the future and weaken his testimony.
I think it's, as we read through this passage, I think it's very easy for us to pile on Obadiah in a certain sense. And I think that, you know, when I look, you know, in my life and certain experiences, I think that there's always thousands of opportunities for us to compromise on those things that we know are true. You know, if I'm in the schoolyard and I see someone treating someone else badly, am I going to stand up for that person, or, you know, rather just, you know, make sure that everyone likes me so that I don't stand out from the crowd? If I'm amongst friends and they're talking badly about someone else, am I just going to, you know, chuckle with them as they're making fun of someone, or am I going to stand out? I think it's natural for all of us to be liked. Everyone, you know, wants to be accepted. And I think Obadiah here, you know, he wanted that prominence. He wanted to be accepted. He wanted to be able to, as it were, as we've stated, to have his feet in both camps. And I think it's very natural for us to pile on him and say Obadiah was, you know, a half-hearted Christian. I think that it's or a half-hearted follower of Christ, a follower of God, which he was. But I think that, you know, the lesson that I think the Lord is trying to teach us here is that in every day we have all thousands of opportunities where we can either choose to stand by what we know is true or we can make a compromise. And the compromise is always so easy in that, as our brother pointed out, following Christ is going to cost us something. We read in the New Testament where it says, those who do not hate their mother and their father and their brother cannot follow me. So it's really the Lord isn't calling us to actually hate our family. He's asking us to make a choice of discipleship. And the difficult thing to accept sometimes is that at times there's going to be a cost, a price to pay. Sometimes people aren't going to like us, and sometimes people aren't going to want to hang out with us. You know, I want to go this place with Craig. Craig never wants to go. Craig is boring. Craig is this or Craig is that. And I think it's one of those things where it's a very practical thing here. I think we shouldn't, you know, lose sight of ourselves within this passage, because I think that it's a very important thing that we, you know, Obadiah, had he stood up for the Lord, he would have risked all his possession, his status, his family, even his life. And so, and as a result, he compromised. And so I think that, very, you know, I find within myself compromising for much less. And so I think that we should always maintain that as we read through this passage.
We also have to remember, in Elijah's case, he had proven God twice before. He had asked that, as we read in even James 5:17, he prayed and God responded, he withheld rain from the earth. He went to the brook, he was fed by the raven. He was also fed, as God had promised him, by that widow woman in Zarephath. So he had already proven God. The take home here is that the closer you stay to the Lord, the more strength you're able to glean for yourself for the next challenge that you get. Evidently, Obadiah, in spite of the fact that he took on himself to hide those prophets, he must have in himself, well, I've done something now for God, so I can't do anything. I don't have to do anything else. And that's what happens when complacency sets in our lives, when we stop meditating on God's word, when we stop praying, then the enemy has that opportunity to seize us and to use us for his own glory. And that's a challenge to our own hearts, that we cannot let up. For the same reason that we eat three meals and snack in between, we also have to get into God's word. Constant meditation of God's word generates stability. Let's remember that motto, and then we'll be able to move on like Elijah did.